All right, let's move this thing into hour number two. Good first hour. I like it. I mean, how can you not have reaction coming off the weekend we had with the NCAA tournament? And the reaction was good. Mostly Aztec fans. One Canes fan coming in saying, hey, what about us? Why are we getting no shot whatsoever? Why is everybody just assuming the UConn's going to beat us and move on? Well, because UConn's been incredible. Because UConn's had one of the great runs I've ever seen going into the Final Four. But I agree with you. I like the Canes. You know, if you want to look at it from a betting standpoint, 5.5 is value. Man, Miami is so good offensively, and they have so many ways to beat you offensively. And Jim Larrañaga has so much confidence in what they do offensively and gives them so much freedom to what they do offensively. But there's so much more than that. They've got heart, they've got grit, they've got belief. They're good on the other end of the floor. They can get to the glass, they can D you up. There's a lot to like about the Canes. But I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but the fact is, UConn is the team to beat this weekend. The team to beat is not always the team that wins. Did you follow me on that, clones? They're the ones to beat. They are. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. UConn has been better than anybody else for weeks. They're the team to beat. But the team to beat is not always the team that wins, because we're not talking about a best of seven. We're talking about one and done. Win, advance, lose, go home. Anything can happen. We know this. I love that matchup. But what I love most of all is that you clones are getting up off your asses and talking about what you saw. 1-800-636-8686. And yes, San Diego State became America's team when they knocked out Bama. And Bama goes out in the round of 16. Hope that was worth it. Although I know it wasn't. All right, new topic. If you want to talk about the Final Four, the Elite Eight, phone lines are open. Take advantage of it, because we're going to have two interviews now on number three. This is your hour to get through. Dusty May. Has this guy done a good job? Is this guy any good? Is this guy a future star? I mean, already a star. He's got FAU in the Final Four. They've never won a tournament game prior to this year. Incredible. So I've got him at 11, Wally Zerbiak at 11:40, and we're open until then. More phone calls coming up. I want to change topics, though, and give you the latest involving Lamar Jackson. It's good to see Lamar Jackson and that saga pick up right where it left off last week, which is to say it's getting worse and more weird and more toxic by the minute, and just more and more strange and bizarre. Remember at the end of last week, it was all about his mysterious friend slash business partner slash non-certified agent, Ken Francis. You remember that whole thing? That figure, shady or otherwise, legitimate or otherwise, was the subject of a league-wide NFL memo essentially telling every team, do not talk to this dude. He might be a legitimate businessman. He might be a legitimate business partner of Lamar's. He might be a legitimate mentor. I don't know. I don't know the dude. But I'll tell you what he's not. He's not legitimately certified to be an agent by the NFLPA. So the league sent a memo to every single team. You are not to talk to this dude. If you're going to engage Lamar about Lamar's business, you engage Lamar about Lamar's business. So Lamar quickly denies that Ken Francis, whoever that is doing any negotiating for him, instead claiming that he and Ken were simply business partners and that their new product, quote, the entire gym, will be launching later this summer. So he either is or is not approaching teams about an offer sheet, or he's just partnering with him on the, quote, the entire gym. Or was Chuck Norris not available? Anyway, I guess they want to get their own product out there. I wish I was making it up, but I'm not. And to prove I'm not, here is the actual infomercial for the entire gym starring Lamar himself.
Combining outdoor training and a portable gym maximizes time and workout routines. With over 250-plus workout routines, the entire gym brings you the flexibility to work out anywhere, anytime.
Hey, Lamar, you're welcome for the free pop. You know what that would normally cost on this show? You're welcome. Anyway, that was then, and Lamar took to Twitter today. And coincidentally, or not at all coincidentally, he took to Twitter right as his coach, John Harbaugh, was talking about his situation and talking about how, hey, listen, that's my guy. We're going to get him back. It's going to be great when we do. So, again, the Browns checked out the Ravens. Old habits die hard, don't they? The Ravens and John Harbaugh are like, high road, high road, high road, high road, high road. That's our guy. We love this guy. We want this guy back. We're going to get this guy back. And when we do get this guy back, we're going to pick up right where we left off. High road, high road, high road. Lamar, at exactly almost the same time, was not high-roading anybody. And he took to his phone and he thumbed out the following. Let me read this. A letter to my fans. I want to first thank you for all the love and support you consistently show towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want y'all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions. Lamar Jackson, at LJ underscore era 8. In regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens has not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that's met me or been around me know I love the game of football and my dream is to help a team. You know, the second part of that nobody disputes, right? We know this. We know you love football. We know it's your dream to help a team. That thing about they won't meet your value, though, that's what's in dispute. Lamar goes on to tweet, quote, and to win the Super Bowl. You all are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore Flock Nation and the entire state of Maryland. Y'all see me again. Sort of cryptic, sort of interesting, sort of past tense, sort of not. But there you have it. I mean, it's starting to look like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Again, on the one hand, you've got John Harbaugh meeting with the press saying, that's our guy. That's our guy. We love that guy. We want that guy back. We're going to get that guy back. And we're going to get back to doing what we did when we had him. And then there's Lamar saying, hey, you don't ask for a trade. I asked for a trade before they hit me with that franchise tag. And I will always love all you fans, but I had to make a business decision. So now we know Lamar requested a trade nearly a month ago, even before Baltimore slapped that franchise tag on him. And again, to make things even more awkward. Lamar timed up that tweet thread with his head coach speaking live at the owners' meetings, you know, to contradict what his coach was saying, effectively to say, hey, listen, you're only getting one side of the story. This is not how this is. They're making, you know what he's saying? They're making me look bad. They're saying, we want him back. We want him back. We want him back. He's our guy. But I'm here to tell you, they're not negotiating. I'm paraphrasing. This is the implication. He didn't say this. I'm going to be very clear about that. The implication is they're not negotiating in good faith because they're not meeting my value. They're not meeting the way I value myself. He's kind of saying they're not meeting my market value. So he's tweeting this as Harbaugh is saying this.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
So high road, high road, high road. Little PR battle that they're looking to win, of course. They say nothing negative about Lamar. They're not trying to set him off or push him away. They're just saying, we want him. We want him. We want him. He's our guy. We're building around him. We want him. Actually, they're not doing jack until they know what they have, right? They can't build around him. They don't know whether or not they have him. But bottom line, that's some hell of a quinky-dink, isn't it? That as he's talking at the owners' meetings, Lamar is thumbing out these tweets. What a quinky-dink. Or not a coincidence at all. So the Ravens themselves tweeted that clip out almost at exactly the same time Lamar was telling the world that he had already asked for a trade a month ago. Pretty aggressive move. Or a move where he felt like, hey, listen, I got to defend myself. I got to tell my side of the story. Here's the thing. Here's where I come out. Lamar says he requested a trade from the Ravens because the team, quote, has not been interested in meeting my value in contract talks. Let's stop right there. They're not interested in meeting my value. As if Lamar is saying the value has been established. The market value, his market value has been established and they're not willing to meet it. He just said that. Not what I think I'm worth, has not been interested in meeting my value in contract talks. See, Lamar, that's the thing. We don't know your value. What is your value? You know what your value is? Your value is what one team is willing to pay you. That's your value. I mean, I'd even say your value is what the market says your value is, but it's not even that. Your value is what one team is willing to pay you, all right? That one team that has your rights is not willing to pay you that. Secondarily, all right, well, then maybe another team will. But from what we've seen, and since they hit you with that tag, it doesn't seem like any other team is willing to pay you, quote, your value. So is it your value or is it what you think your value is? There is a difference. Your value is what somebody is willing to pay you. Like Deshaun Watson, even I'd say that's not his value, but it is because the Browns were willing to pay him that. And if the check doesn't rubberize, that's your value. Here's the other problem. You need to find somebody who, quote, will pay you your value. If it's not the Ravens, it has to be another team. If it's another team, and I'm not even sure you can find another team to pay you, quote, your value. But if you can find that team, they also have to compensate you. So challenging enough to find another team to, quote, meet your value. But then they have to compensate the Ravens with a couple of draft picks. Number ones. There's your double whammy. That's what you're up against. I think you're confusing, quote, your value with what you think you're worth. Because if nobody is willing to pay you what you're asking for, it's not your value. It's what you think your value is. And again, I'm not picking a side here. I think there's a lot of blame to go around here. But as always, the best deal is the deal that leaves both sides pissed. Lamar is so dug in, though. And I think a lot of this is ego. I think this is a lot of this is pride. And I think that a lot of it is principle. I think the guy really does believe, how the hell are you going to guarantee Deshaun Watson all that money and then expect me, a better player with a better career, to ask for even $1 less? I understand why he might have thought that. I understand why he might have continued to think that. But Lamar, it just seems to me on the outside looking in that the rest of the league sees that as an outlier and hates the Browns because of it. So, is it your value or is it what you think your value is? Can I tell you something? How many times have any of us negotiated a contract on our behalf and thought that we were worth a lot more money only to take what was offered because that was the value they set on us? Unless you can find somebody willing to give you what you want, that's not your value. How about that? That's the bottom line. Lamar said, I want to trade because they won't pay me my value. Your value is what somebody will pay you. Lamar, nobody's paying you this money so far. Or maybe you can find somebody to give you that money, but then the compensation is the holdup. Well, that's a problem too, right? And I'm not even convinced that you can find somebody to give you the guaranteed money you want. I know this. It's incredible how off the rails this thing is. It's incredible how one of the best things ever, and it was. It was one of the best things ever. A young stud, a unanimous MVP, the face of the franchise, one of the faces of the league, one of the most electric players ever, a transcendent talent starting his career in a community that loved him, and he loved them, and he loved his teammates. It was so good. How did that become this? I don't know. Exhibit A, Deshaun Watson and the Browns. But I know this. You can point the finger where you want, but we had one of the best situations ever, and now it's one of the worst. And it's not getting better. I don't see these two sides working their way towards the middle. Not if John Harbaugh is addressing the press. Man, how pissed do you think Harbaugh was to have everybody run back to him? Hey, yo, coach, you see what your guy tweeted while you were talking? While you were saying, that's our guy, we want him back, we're going to get him back, it's going to get done, we're going to pick up right where we left off. When you were saying all that, that guy was tweeting the opposite. That guy was saying, I asked for a trade. They won't meet my value.
I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
I don't know. I think that Lamar would like to get back to football, too. It just doesn't sound like he would like to get back to football with you if he's asking for a trade. What's your reaction? 1-800-636-8686. One of the big stories today. In addition to that, one of the other big stories was LeBron James made it back. And I want to say not a second too soon because they're still on the outside looking in. And then they get beat by Chicago soundly at the Crypt in a game they have to have. But LeBron, man, he is some kind of fast healer, isn't he? How did he make it back so fast? There was talk about whether or not he may or may not make it back before the end of the regular season, but he makes it back with 8 games left. How? How did he do that? Well, according to LeBron James, he sought out the LeBron James of feet. And that's how he made it back. Dude, you have become the LeBron James of insufferable. What a line. And then they lose to Chicago. And then my man Stacey King piled on. All of that still ahead. Dusty May, top of the hour. Wally Zerbiak coming up next hour. Let's get some reaction. Hey, Jim. Perhaps Lamar should have found the Lamar Jackson of agents. Robin Green
Jackson.
Bay. Yeah, I think that's coming back to bite. Or any agent at all. I mean, the Jamarcus Russell of agents would probably be better than what he has right now. Better than no agent.
Jamarcus Russell.
Jamie in Green Bay, quote, for an easy annual payment of $50 million a year, you can own an entire gym. If you order in the next 10 minutes, we'll throw in a free Lamar Jackson. Kinda.
Combining outdoor training and a portable gym maximizes time and
why even play?
Workout routines.
Why does he need to play when he's got the best business idea ever? Never mind that I see these mobile gyms everywhere.
250-plus workout routines.
This guy writes, wore the entire gym being Dodger Jano's gift on anniversary night. Come on! Ian in Chicago. Dude, our anniversary is in July. Where are you going with that? That's gratuitous.
Come on.
Hey, Ian, that's the entire gym. I see what you did there. Actually, I'll allow that. The entire gym. Not to be confused with Lamar's entire gym. This is Dodger Gym's entire gym. All right, when we come back.
The entire gym.
Hopefully more telephone calls. It's a good phone call day. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see how those tweets. Lamar might feel better. But that's not going to make it better. And I'm not putting it all on him. Both sides are to blame here. But both sides are to blame for taking something amazing and wrecking it. All right, Lamar, again, they're not giving you your value. Why isn't anybody else? Is it because nobody else values you the same way? Or is it because somebody will pay you but doesn't want the compensation? But even that's ridiculous because everybody knows the compensation. We know what the compensation is involved with the tag. So how does Lamar work his way out of this? Is he going to sit out the year to prove his point and leave that $32 million on the table? Is he going to sit out the year and work the entire gym angle to recoup his losses that way? Is my man going to travel town to town pitching that business product? How are you going to work your way out of this? All of that still ahead. Don't go anywhere. And Dusty May, top of the hour.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You know, as far as the Ravens go, you can almost see this right from the jump. Like, Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the team, reportedly, when he saw that Browns deal for Deshaun Watson, reportedly thought to himself, man, this is not good. We're not doing that. This is not good. This is not good for the league. And of course, an owner would think that, right? The owners do not want that. The owners do not want crazy, over-the-top, guaranteed money. Of course, the owners don't want that. But he knew that his quarterback with a better resume was coming up for a contract, and then he saw what the Browns did. I would have loved to have been in the room when Bisciotti realized what the Browns did for Deshaun Watson. Man, this dude must have lost his mind completely. Like, oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? They did what? They guaranteed how much? Oh, hell no. Now what's going to happen when LeBron walks through my door? Or Lamar? I got LeBron on the brain because I'm going to get there. Because LeBron sought out the LeBron of feet. And it worked, apparently. So again, I just want to make that point one more time. So you've got the quarterback, Lamar, tweeting while the coach, John Harbaugh, is talking and saying, this is our guy. We want him back. We expect to get him back. We're going to get him back. And it's going to be great. And I'm sure Lamar is just sitting there like, man, lies, lies, lies. This is not how it is. This is not how it is. And they're turning people against me. They're making me look like the bad guy. So here's how it really is. They won't meet my value. I asked for a trade. They wouldn't give me a trade. They don't have to trade you, dude. They can just franchise you. They don't need to trade you. They can franchise you. And by the way, go ahead. Go ahead. You can go get yourself an offer sheet. Get the offer sheet. Hey, and by the way, I think it was a really good move by the team. Because what the team is saying, in effect, is we don't agree. You're right. We don't agree on your value. We do not agree on your value. So you have permission to go out there and get somebody else to make you an offer. Go ahead. Maybe we are wrong. Maybe you are right. And maybe we're missing the boat here. Go ahead, Lamar. Get an offer sheet. Problem is, he's not getting one. Not as far as we can tell. So maybe the team is right when the team says, this is your value. So Lamar may be trying to control the narrative or might be trying to stick up for himself. I get that because it's not going very well. But in terms of just pure business, dollars and cents, money, the contract, he's not winning this fight. Which is why he probably went to Twitter and said, hey, I asked for a trade. They won't trade me. They won't pay me. They won't trade me. That's his argument, in effect. They won't pay me what I'm worth, and they won't trade me. So what am I supposed to do? Well, there is this discussion about what you're actually worth, Lamar. And again, I'm no labor law attorney, and I've never negotiated contracts on my own. However, it seems to me you are worth what somebody will pay you. And you're not getting what you want. So then you're not worth it. No matter no matter what you think of yourself. And did you hear that last part that I said? I have never negotiated on my own because I'm not good at that. And my man, you apparently aren't either because the deal is not getting done. Where do you come out on this? How is it going to go? How is it going to end? And who do you blame? Let's get one phone call in here quickly. We go to Cleveland. Brian in C-Town. Hey, Brian, how are you? What's going on?
What's up, Romy, man? Good to talk to you.
You too.
First thing, talking about LeBron real quickly. I'm glad he's your problem now because the Cavs have made the playoffs now for the first time in 5 years, which is awesome. Good young team. As far as this whole situation with Lamar and Cleveland, desperate times call for desperate measures. All right, we thought we had our franchise quarterback. We didn't. We did what we had to do to get Lamar in here. And from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, you know what? Or not Lamar, I'm sorry. Lamar out of the AFC North and got Deshaun Watson into the AFC North. So looking at our standpoint, we're loving every minute of it. Cue it, Alvy. I'm out.
Cue what? Cue what? Guy, cue what? Whatever it is he wants to cue, Alvin, don't cue it. Hey, Browns fan, listen. You know me. I'm not here to hate. In fact, I'm here to love. I've had nothing but love for you for so long. This show would not be what it is without Cleveland. Let me repeat that. This show would not be what it is without Cleveland. I love Cleveland. I'm the one national guy that's always had your back. I have such love for Cleveland because Cleveland treated me with such love. But you are really doing some serious mental gymnastics trying to justify that contract and make it seem like it's fine. It's good for us. It's not our job to worry about how everybody else does business. We made a good deal. I'm going to argue that guaranteeing that guy that amount of money is not a good deal. It certainly wasn't last year. He's going to have to play so unbelievably better than he ever has to justify that deal. Or you know what? If it's not too much to ask, better than Jacoby Brissett. If you're going to guarantee Deshaun Watson, not a good dude, more money than anybody ever, he has to at least outplay Jacoby Brissett. I don't think that's too much to ask. And yes, that contract absolutely is having a bearing on this contract because I understand why Lamar would think to himself, why would I take a dollar less? Why? However, I could see where he thought that in the beginning. I could see where he thought that as he went along. But the writing should have been on the wall. And I think that if he had an agent worth his salt, a really good agent, a really experienced agent, would not be afraid of Lamar.
Bench the salt.
And would tell Lamar not what he wanted to hear, but what he needed to hear. All right? I've never negotiated my deals, but I have people around me. And frankly, as I've always said, there are times when you have the hammer, and there are times when you get hammered. And they don't even have to tell me. I know. It's all leverage. And then you know whether or not, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter how talented you think you are, no matter what you think that you have to bring to it, the market will bear. That will tell you what you're worth, not what you think you're worth. Lamar's got it in his head. I am worth this money. They're not paying me what I'm worth. So if they're not going to pay me what I'm worth, they should just trade me. Not really, Lamar. They don't have to trade you. They still can franchise you. And they did. They hit you with that tag. You know, this argument that they're not paying me what I'm worth, therefore they should do the right thing and trade me. Why? They don't have to. You know, if you don't like the way that's set up, go to your own players association. It was collectively bargained. My man, you don't have that hammer that you think you do. They do need you. But you don't have the sort of leverage that you think you have. And running to Twitter to saying, hey, man, I asked for a trade, is not going to suddenly turn public opinion in your favor. Like, hey, Ravens, do right by this guy. You won't pay him what he's worth, so trade him. That's not how that works. Maybe Lamar thought that's how that works. But that's not how that works. You tell me, how do you think that works? I'm telling you, in terms of value, you are worth what somebody will pay you. Even Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm going to say that that guy's not worth that kind of guaranteed money. But you know what? He is. He is because he found one team to negotiate against itself that was desperate, that knew they could never, ever get a guy like that unless it was under these circumstances. So they gave him the money. Therefore, he was worth it. That was his value because he found somebody. Lamar, until you find somebody willing to give you that money, that is not your value as much as you think it is. When we come back, say somebody else who's got a pretty high opinion of himself, LeBron. And he should, from a basketball standpoint. But it's still, and he does. But does it give him right to run around saying things like, I'm LeBron James and I found the LeBron James of feet? That is the LeBron James of insufferable, man. When we come back, that topic and your reaction. Dusty May, top of the hour. ATP next hour. Wally Szczerbiak next hour. Sports update right now.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Quick reminder, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is original old-fashioned. Teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so let's talk LeBron. LeBron returned from his foot injury yesterday, which should have been the best news ever for a Laker fan. Remember, when the GM initially heard a pop, there were fears that we would not see him again for the rest of the regular season. We had the live audio of the injury, too, and I got to admit, it did not sound good. In fact, it sounded really, really rough. It sounded like this. Brutal, right? Like, that did not sound good. You can clearly hear the pop and his reaction. And that's one of the toughest guys ever. Except yesterday, LeBron made his return to the court with 8 games remaining in the regular season and the Lakers holding onto a playing spot. So, who do we have to thank for LeFib's early return from that devastating foot injury that sounded so terrible? I mean, never mind season ending. That sounded career ending. Never mind career ending. That sounded life ending. That sounded terrible. I should give a disclaimer, like, this next soundbite is extremely graphic in nature. You might want to turn away. This. Anyway, it turns out, and somehow, some way, this guy made it back. He made it back with 8 games left. How? I mean, I know he's a fast healer. How? It turns out the person we have to thank is, quote, the LeBron James of feet. Now, I had no idea there was such a thing as the LeBron James of feet, but according to LeBron James, the LeBron James of feet does exist and also cleared LeBron James to return to action because the LeBron James of feet said so.
Did anyone ever suggest surgery?
Yeah, 2 doctors.
Why did you decide against it?
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet and he told me I should.
Are you going to need surgery on this after this season?
I don't know. Right now, I don't need it, so we'll see what happens. I'll probably get another MRI at the end of the season, and go from there. But if I end up having to get surgery after the season, you guys won't know. I don't talk to you guys in off season, and by the time next season starts, I'll be fine. I'll be ready to go.
Insufferable mush. The LeBron James of feet cleared me. Yes, but do you need surgery? Maybe. I don't know. And if I do get it, you won't know because I don't talk to you guys because you're not the LeBron James of reporters. So I'm not talking to you in the LeBron James of the offseason. I mean, this dude can't be serious. He's got to be trolling us, right? Or maybe just trolling Rex Ryan.
Foot, feet, toes.
There's no way this dude is for real. There's no way this dude is actually this insufferable. Even cringerous. It's like, my dude, you're stepping on my brand. That's my brand.
Broncos country.
Cringe and being built like a sack of potatoes. My brands, man. My lane. Stay the hell out my lane.
Let's ride.
The LeBron James of feet told him that he could play.
Because I'm confused, I went to LeBron James of
did
feet.
I'm confused, though. Did the LeBron James of feet skip med school and go right from prep school to practicing medicine? Was the LeBron James of feet on the cover of the Podiatry Illustrated as a high school junior? Did the LeBron James of feet announce which practice he was going to work at in a televised special? Like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach Podiatry Center. We're going to have not one, not two, not three, not four, but five bunion removals in the first year. That's guaranteed.
In this film, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
And, LeBron, my dude, you're the LeBron James now of being an insufferable bag. You're the LeBron James of sucking all the air out of every room that you walk into now with statements like that. You're the LeBron James of ruining iconic movie franchises and causing my sons to projectile vomit all over each other in public. And all that just to come back and get curb stomped by the Bulls and clowned by Pat Bev. Man, Pat Bev. Pat Bev was on one yesterday against his former team. Remember how he tried to tell us that the Lakers did not fire him, that he fired the Lakers? Pat Bev said, quote, I was a spoon and they used me as a fork, end of quote. Then yesterday he showed up back in L.A. and stuck a fork in LeBron's big return. My man literally too-smalled LeBron right to his face, which I have to say is pretty freaking hilarious considering the dude who too-smalled LeBron is giving up at least 8 inches to LeBron. Hey, LeBron, you are the LeBron James of getting clowned to your face while losing a critical game at home to a sub-500 team by a former teammate. And Pat Bev, being Pat Bev, was only getting started. He also courtside, telling him his Lakers stink and holding his nose, which led to this from Stacey King, legend, on the Bulls broadcast.
Skip, Skip, let me tell you something. That was uncalled for what Patrick Beverly did to me at the Lakers game. I'm telling you something, Skip.
No.
Skip, Skip. I'm a Hall of Famer, Skip. I'm a Hall of Famer, Skip.
Shannon, what can the Bulls do right now?
The Bulls won. I'm a Bulls fan. Forget LeBron. I'm a Bulls fan. Skip will fly. Skip will fly.
Stacey King, if you need him, man. Wow. You know I normally do not comment on other broadcasters. I've got my own show to do. I've always said I do my show. I interview athletes. They talk about me. I don't do that. I've never been about that. But Stacey King is incredible. And I have said that for a long time. Let me also say this. The Bulls had one hell of a time in the Lakers' house yesterday. The Bulls basically showed that they are the LeBron James of humiliating LeBron James and the Lakers. LeBron James saying that I went to the LeBron James of feet is maybe the baggiest thing I've ever heard a legend say.
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
Again, you're third-personing yourself and then third-personing yourself into a third-person physician or a third-person vendor? Did you go to the LeBron James of car washes, too? Did you go to the LeBron James of Mexican restaurants? Did you go to the LeBron James of tailors? Did you go to the LeBron James of supermarkets? He should go to the LeBron James of everything.
Feet.
everything. Like me, I'm the LeBron James of radio hosts.
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
I do the LeBron James. I'm the LeBron James of interviewers. I'd even go as far as to say that I'm the LeBron James of human beings.
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
What was that? He almost paused there, expecting the entire room either to fall out or for people to look at him like, dude, bag much?
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
I went to the LeBron James of feet? LeBron, can we just walk back for a minute and look at that, analyze that? LeBron James just told the assembled media, oh, I'm back because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
Because I went to the LeBron James of feet.
Damn, dude, that is an epic house. Of course, I had the LeBron James of home builders build it. I mean, cringy. That is cringier even than russet, if possible. At least LeBron's not built like a bag of potatoes and isn't short. I mean, he is arguably the GOAT. But cringy. Dusty May next.